With love and humility, I offer my most humble salutations and love at the divine lotus feet of our most beautiful, beloved Swami Bhagavan Sri Satya Sai Baba. Dear Swami, respected elders, distinguished guests, brothers and sisters, loving Sai Rams to all of you. What a beautiful day it is today. My name is Alejandro Alex Grana, and I currently serve as the chair of the events committee of the Satya Sai International Organization. It is my great honor and delight today to introduce to you the first day proceedings of the first ever Go Green Conference taking place here in our very own Prashanti Nilayam. An event over 1 year in the making, much longer than that, awaited by many around the world, and most importantly, founded on the teachings of Bhagavan for over 5 decades about nature and the environment. At the outset, I would like to extend the most loving and the warmest welcome to each and every one of the 1,200 delegates from around the world, from 70 countries who have gathered here today for this auspicious occasion. I will also like to extend the warmest welcome to all of those thousands of you who will be following us for the first time ever via live stream from around the world. You would also be pleased to know that nearly one-third of the delegates to this conference come from right here, this nature-rich and most beautiful land of Bharat, from every corner of this land of India. I would also like to extend our deepest love and appreciation to our guest speakers here today. We know that Swami tells us that in our Sai centers and our samitis, the most important person in these places are the guests. You would be pleased to know that some of these guests are here for the first time in Prashanti Nilayam, but they are not new to Swami's message, for they have been living their entire life Swami's message of love and selfless service. And for that, brothers and sisters, could we give them a big round of applause? Now on to the conference itself. You are seeing all of these banners about Go Green. You have been hearing about Go Green. So what is Go Green? What are the objectives of this conference exactly? We know that a picture is worth 1,000 words. So perhaps a few examples of why the reason, the need for this conference can illustrate why are we here. In the past 50 years, humans have consumed more resources than in all previous human history. And today, we consume 50% more resources than just 30 years ago. Half of the world's tropical and temperate forests are now gone. More than 2 million people globally die prematurely every year due to air pollution. Only a fraction of 1% of the world's water supply is actually available for fresh water consumption. And out of that, brothers and sisters, our global aquifers are reducing by an average of 3 meters per year. You get the point. Many governments and expert organizations with noble intents have actually tried to address this problem. So you may ask, what is it that we gathered here can bring to the table today? And what I say, brothers and sisters, what the Satya Sai organization brings to the table every time, the spiritual value. Brothers and sisters, We know, we understand what Swami tells us. And everything for Swami starts with the spiritual value. And that is what this conference is about. Tackling the problem at its source. Namely, the fact that man has exceedingly new desires every time. And man has lost its understanding of its divine connection with nature, brothers and sisters. So, the objective of this conference is very simple. To reacquaint ourselves and commit ourselves to action to Swami's simple words that man must realize God through nature. To this end, we will have a conference for over 2 days. We will have programs in the morning and evening here in this Kul One Hall and in between at the Purnachandra Auditorium. There, the delegates will actually explore the problems and the potential solutions to this environmental issue that we have worldwide. It will be done from an individual perspective, from a collective perspective, and from all the different angles that need to be explored, primarily from the spiritual, though also from the scientific perspective. During this program, we will have inspirational talks, and we will have also action-oriented working sessions. At the end of this conference, a set of resolutions will be drafted so that they can be implemented and take it down to our grassroots, our Sai Center levels, and our own samitis. I would also like to remind everyone that we have an exhibition that is running in parallel to this conference, and it was open last night, and it will run every day from 10:30 in the morning until 9 in the evening, and we would like to extend to all of you the warmest welcome to come and see for yourself what Swami says about this subject of nature and the environment, and also what are some of the global projects that are being undertaken by the Satya Sai organization, not only around the world, but here in our very own India. Now, to this morning's proceedings. It is often said that nature is the song of God. So how could we possibly inaugurate a conference of this kind without a theme song? Today's theme song will be performed by our very own very talented youth whom you had the great pleasure of hearing last night. The theme of the song is Together We Sing, and after that it will be followed by our keynote speakers. Brothers and sisters, let us give a very, very warm welcome to our young adults. Jai Sai Ram.
Let us go green, let us value Mother Earth, and make it worth to live.
Together we live, just like a family. Together we sing, in peace and harmony.
Let us value Mother Earth and make it worth to live. Together we live, just like a family. Together we sing, in peace and harmony. And nature so pure, we keep it heavenly. Together we sing, in peace and harmony. Way, to show how much we care, save our lakes and rivers, do not pollute the air. Together we live, just like a family. Together we sing, in peace and harmony. The nature's so pure, we keep it heavenly. Together we sing, in peace and harmony. Peace and harmony, peace and harmony, peace and harmony. Peace and harmony, peace and harmony, peace and harmony. Together we just like a family. Together we sing, in peace and harmony. The nature so pure, we keep it heavenly. Together we sing, in peace and harmony. Together we live, just like a family. Together we sing, in peace and harmony, in peace and harmony, in peace and harmony.
It is now my great honor to introduce to you our first speaker for this morning, Dr. Narendranath Reddy. Dr. Narendranath Reddy, MD, is the chairman of the Prashanti Council of the Satya Sai International Organization, which has presence in about 120 countries. He graduated from medicine with honors and later specialized in endocrinology and metabolism. He has been a practicing consultant in California for over 30 years and has received several awards for his academic achievements and selfless service in the community. Four generations of Dr. Reddy's family have been followers of Bhagavan Sri Satya Sai Baba, with Dr. Reddy himself having come to Bhagavan at the tender age of 5. Dr. Reddy and his family have been hosting a Sai Center in their home for over 30 years. Would you join me in welcoming Dr. Narendranath Reddy?
With love, gratitude, and reverence, I offer my prayerful pranams at the divine lotus feet of our loving Lord, Bhagavan Sri Satya Sai Baba. Respected elders, trustees of the Sri Satya Sai Central Trust, respected Mr. M.C. Mehtaji, distinguished guests, dear brother Nimish Pandya, All India President, dear brothers and sisters, loving Sai Ram to all of you. My hearty welcome to all of you for this Go Green Conference, which is blessed and guided by Bhagavan Sri Satya Sai Baba. There are many Go Green Conferences held by environmental agencies, governmental agencies, NGOs. But this is a unique Go Green Conference. Why it is unique? It is held in the divine abode, the abode of supreme peace, Prashanti Nilayam, the spiritual capital of the world. Another unique thing is we have spiritual seekers from 70 countries participating in this conference. And also this is unique because this conference is based on the teachings of the avatar of the age, Bhagavan Sri Satya Sai Baba. This is where it is not only science is dealt, but is science as spirituality is integrated. Because Swami says, science without humanity is not only useless, but positively dangerous. So here it is during these 2 days, on the basis of the teachings of our Lord, we will tell how we serve and protect our planet. What did Swami say? Swami says, nature is a gift to humanity from God. Actually, nature is a vesture of God. And Swami went on to say, nature is a manifestation of God. Ultimately, he says, nature and God are one. He beautifully said in Telugu, Anu Anu Kana Kanamu Kshana Kshanamu Devudevu. That means every cell, every atom, every moment in this creation is permeated by the divine. That is the experience we have to have. Swami said, talked about nature, God and man. This is a beautiful book which has come about. There is a devotee by name Ross Woodward. He brought out a book. I would recommend you to read this, talking about the teachings of Bhagavan. And here, Swami beautifully says, to think nature, God, man are separate is ignorance. To finally see the unity that nature and God and man are one, that is knowledge. On the occasion of the Guru Purnima, this is the wonderful to remember. As Guru says, Guru is darkness, Ru is remover of the darkness. So here, the result is, we will realize nature, God and man are one. I remember a beautiful incident, one of the devotees related, he was going with Swami in the car. Then Swami asked, what do you want? He said, Swami, I want to see God. Swami says, roll down the window of the car. And he showed the thing, this is God. We always try to seek God, but Swami says, see God in everything, everywhere, ever. That is the spirituality. That is the experience we should have. Seeing God in everything, everywhere, ever. I remember this is about 30 years ago. We were blessed and fortunate. Swami called our family for the interview. My father and mother, they used to live in Prashanti Nilayam for many years, 14, 15 years. And Swami called, you know, Swami eats very little. So barely eats. As a physician, I know it is not possible for anybody to have a normal, healthy life eating so little. So my father expressed his concern, Swami, you eat so little. You must be very fragile, please. Swami said, see, I'm so strong and healthy. Then my father made a comment. Because in Himalaya, the sages, they won't eat, but they derive their energy from the air. They call Vayu Bhaksha, nitrogen, hydrogen, oxygen. They survive. So Swami, my father made a comment, Swami, you must be deriving energy from these five elements. There came the reply, Pat came. Five elements derive energy from me. Swami is the source of all the five elements. This is the relation we should share for God. Swami beautifully said the relation between God, nature and man. He gave a formula. Swami is everything makes like a formula. Vyashti, Samishti, Srishti, Parameshti. That is the connection. As an individual, we are part of the society. Society is part of the nature. Nature is part of the God. So we need to have that kind of relationship and respect for nature. We should have always, Swami says, nature is the greatest teacher. It is always teaches us love and sacrifice. Swami gives the example, tree, it gives fruits, it doesn't eat its own fruits. River, it gives water to others, it doesn't drink its own water. Cows, they give milk, they don't drink their own milk. Similarly, the Lord has given us the body for the service of others. So that is the lesson we should learn from nature. And Swami says the best way, as Alex was talking about, to be in tune with God is going through nature. In 1994, we were in Kodaikanal. We were fortunate. Swami took us for a picnic where there was waterfalls in the woods. And then Swami said, "Did you know why I took you for the picnic?" We all gave different reasons. But Swami says the reason is the best way to experience God is through nature. And last week, myself and some of our senior brothers, Sadhura was there and other senior devotees, Leonardo Guter. So they had the Golden Jubilee celebration of Swami's visit to East Africa in 1968, July. So they had a glorious celebration. There we came to know how much Swami loves nature. He went to Uganda, visited the falls. He went to the Nile River. He went to Gorongoro in Tanzania and went into the animal sanctuary. And there the beautiful description, Professor Kasturi says, he had relation with the hippos, his Swami saw, crocodiles, elephants, lions, and he writes a beautiful letter to the Vice Chancellor, V.K. Gokak. Man should learn how to live in unity, harmony, and love seeing these animals. Learn the leadership from them. So Swami loves nature and wants us to learn from nature. But what are we doing to nature? Swami himself, let me tell you, just we think Swami is not only, I have experienced as a physician par excellence, but he's the greatest environmental scientist. He has covered all aspects of environment in his divine discourses. So he says, what have we been doing? Instead of giving reverence to nature, we are exploiting nature, using the fossil fuels like coal and petroleum and gasoline. And why? For our greed and selfishness, the industries, for automobiles. I think nowadays Swami was telling how many automobiles, the more people want to have, instead of having one, you want to have two. Some people have 5 and 6, and some have big gas guzzlers. They take one gallon only 10 miles. So whenever we do that, we should think we are increasing the carbon footprint. We are really doing sin. We are really doing harm. It increases our awareness how we are destroying the nature. Second thing Swami said why we are insulting the nature is by deforestation. Millions of acres were deforested for urbanization, for use of paper. This is another greatest damage we are doing. Third thing is killing of the animals. So many animals intentionally are killed, and some are unintentionally because of the acidification of the oceans. So many marine life, so many things are being eliminated. That is the greatest sin, because planet is not only for humans, but for all creation. And finally, the greatest damage we are doing is environmental pollution. Pollution, as Swami says, everything is polluted. Our mind is polluted. Now the reflection is, air is polluted, water is polluted, food is polluted. Really, it is shocking to know, I don't know how many of you know, there is a thing called Great Pacific Garbage Patch. In the Pacific, there is a Great Pacific Garbage Patch. It is the size of three sizes of the country size of France. That huge. So much garbage we are dumping. How much damage we are doing this. So what is the consequences as pay of karma? As you sow, we have to reap. So what are the consequences? We all hear about climate change, global warming. We all feel that. So every time, actually last week, I was told in Alaska, usually this time the temperature is about 40 degrees. Last week they reported it's 90 degrees Fahrenheit. So here, the global warming is a fact. Glaciers are disappearing. Levels of the seas are rising. And recently they predicted soon, you know, these major coastal cities like Miami, Rio de Janeiro, and then Shanghai, Alexandria, Osaka, they will be all underwater. This is what we are going to create. That is why Swami says these disasters we call natural disasters, like earthquakes and hurricanes, typhoons, drought. Swami says they are not natural. They are not made by God. They are man-made disasters. We created the disasters because of our greed and selfishness. And Swami says, what about ourselves? We all have to pay for the consequences. It is deleterious our own physical health. You know that so much, 1 in 9 people die every year because of air pollution. 1 in 9. I was amazed to hear this. This is the statistics by World Health Organization 2016. They say 1 in 9 people die because of air pollution. 6.9 million people die each year. That kind of damage we don't realize. They have affect our respiratory system, like you can have asthma, chronic obstructive lung disease, cancer, and you can have cardiovascular disease like blood pressure, heart disease. And more shocking is, when you are exposed to this environmental pollution, the mothers who are pregnant, even the unborn baby will be affected. When the babies are born, they will have a stunted growth, small head, and even mothers will have kidney problems. This is the kind of damage. It is astounding to see the more and more you dive into that, how much damage it is done. With not only the physical health, mental health, and the natures. So much harm is done. And polar bears are disappearing. Glaciers are disappearing. This is very, very sad. But Swami says, not to recognize the problem, then what can be done about it? We should know what we can do about it. And Swami is the greatest example. His life is his message. We all seen, we don't need a government regulations to wait for government regulation, but Swami says you should come from us at the individual level. Swami says by source, not by force. Swami himself as an example, a lot of us who have seen Swami, when we go into the interview room, he himself put on the fan. He himself switches off the fan. He himself puts on the light. He switches off the light. How he, one time even in his discourse, he described how he conserved water. His eye was red. He said, I put the soap, but I didn't want to have the tap running, so I didn't use much water. His eye was red. So we waste water, and we have seen that. I myself is a culprit. I used to run the tap water. My wife said, you waste so much water, and Swami says, don't waste water. So Swami, by his example, everything is very particular, never waste. I remember one time we had the young adult festival here. So Swami wants to look at it. So we were giving a delegate notebook and a pen. Swami said, Narendra, give it to me. And then Swami looked at the pen. Quality control, he's checking the quality, whether it is working. Then he takes the notebook, writes in the back of the notebook. And then I was wondering why. See, I didn't waste any paper. So if you write in the notebook, then one page is gone. So everything, we need to be conscious. Never waste anything. Swami's life is an example. Inspired by that, we try to follow his example. Like, I used to take 15-minute shower before. Now these people have 108 tips. So they said you should have shower only for duration of one bhajan. So now I do that. So I cut down from 15 minutes to 5 minutes. And our electric bill in the house, in California, we used to have spent about $800 to $900 per month, about $10,000. Now we put solar panels 4 years ago. Now our cost of the electric bill is zero. So it's not only environmentally clean, and third thing. And also we now have 2 electric cars in the family. So we try to, as much as possible, practice what Swami teaches. And finally, I want to say, what are we doing as an organization? Organization, Swami has said, try to use the renewable energies. So here, in 2013, our young adults, the credit goes to them, they started this project called STP, Serve the Planet. And then, as a part of that, we have got Protect the Planet. And as a part of that, we have a HOPE project. What is HOPE? Honor our planet every day. HOPE, honor our planet every day. So nowadays, the days of acronyms and eponyms, everybody wants abbreviation. How do you do this, honor our planet every day? Swami has given the answer by COD and EHV. What is COD? Ceiling and Desires. EHV, Education, Human Values. When you practice that, then he says, we really serve the Mother Earth. So we need to implement that. And it is being done all over the world. I want to give great, wonderful thing that CSSI Central Trust, during Aradhana time, they started a huge solar planet, 2.1 megawatts, which could save crores of rupees in electricity bills, not only here, they also did in Whitefield. And we have many projects like that in Thailand. We have 3.1 megawatts, which is done by Thailand school. Dr. Ortong Jimsa is there. So millions of Thailand birds, per 100 million birds, right, Dr. Ortong? So it is being saved per year. And similarly, we have solar panel projects in Sri Lanka, Kenya, Fiji, and many parts. So they are using the renewable energies. Second thing is reuse, recycle, and reduce. So people, we all used to use the plastic bags. So all over the world now, people have taken different projects. This is done by the people from, the devotees from Hong Kong. This is done by devotees from Australia. And many things. This is done from Germany and Taiwan and many parts of the world. All of these people are taking initiatives to use these clothing bags. So this is being implemented. People have, young people are participating in even stitching these bags. Third project we are doing is cleaning, because as I said, environmental pollution, beaches, rivers, everything are polluted. We have started the cleaning projects in many parts of the world. They have started, actually we can, this is there in the book, Serve the Planet book we have, where we have the cleaning projects in Croatia, in Canada, in Estonia, Australia, Ghana, and many parts of the world. We have these various ongoing cleaning projects, keeping the environment in view. Then next important Swami said is water, because water is the elixir of life. And he himself said, so many people don't have access to the clean drinking water. I was surprised, even here, the statistics, World Health Organization says, 890 million people, almost a billion people, one in seven, do not have access to a clean drinking water. How sad. And many people have waterborne diseases. 2 billion people, not million people, 2 billion people suffer from waterborne diseases because of the contaminated water. That is why Swami started this water project, serving millions of people clean drinking water. Inspired by this, we have many parts of the world, like in Africa, in El Salvador, providing the drinking water to the needy people. Recently in Nepal, they have hundreds of kilometers of pipelines which were laid to supply the clean drinking water to the villages. So this is the water thing. And finally, the other project we take is tree planting. I know they are doing it many parts of India too. And recently they did it in Bangalore in Whitefield Hospital. But we have this tree planting going on in USA, New Zealand, Canada, recently in Kenya, all parts of the world. Because Swami says, we did the deforestation, harm the environment, let us replant. Because you learn from plants how to serve the society. So these are the various projects which are being done. Now, I want to conclude my talk with the scriptural injunctions God has given. Dharmo rachati rachitiha. If you protect dharma, it will protect you. Similarly, if you serve the planet and protect the planet will serve us and protect us. That is the lesson we learn. So let us resolve, but by Swami's grace and blessings, we honor our planet every day by implementing the resolutions of the Go Green Conference. Jai Sai Ram, thank you very much.
Dear Dr. Reddy, thank you for your words of wisdom. Our keynote speaker for this morning is Sri M.C. Mehta. Sri M.C. Mehta is an internationally renowned environmental lawyer who started his legal practice at the Supreme Court of India 35 years ago. He has dedicated his life to protecting the environment and to the betterment of people, and has been acknowledged all over the world for his selfless service. For example, he has been successful in implementing protection schemes for 4 World Heritage sites, including the Taj Mahal. He has also been involved in the protection of the Holy Ganga River and in more than 250 national and state protected monuments. Sri M.C. Mehta has been internationally recognized by notable organizations for his contribution in the field of environment and for his public service. He received the United Nations Environmental Programme's Global 500 Award in 1993, the Goldman Environmental Prize for Asia in 1996, the Ramon Magsayay Award for Public Service in 1997, and more recently, the prestigious Padma Shri Award in 2016 from the Government of India. Brothers and sisters, this is Sri M.C. Mehta's first time in Prashanti Nilayam. Let's give him a very warm round of applause.
Dr. Reddy and other distinguished guests over here, this is my first time to visit this holy place. Just with P. N. Bhagwati, we were very close to each other and we set up an organization that was Indian Council for Environmental Legal Action. He was the president of that organization and I was the general secretary, and we discussed many things that what has to be done for the protection of environment after his retirement. Before his retirement, he heard my various cases and he set up new principles and laid down the new policies for the protection of environment in India. He is no more, but I remember him that he mentioned many times about Babaji, by Satya Sai Babaji, but I could not get time, and today I'm very happy to be over here to meet all of you. My friends, when I saw the theme, the Go Green, I thought that Go Green, so I think that Go Green means go green, think green, act green, and live green. Because if we think only the Go Green and we don't act, nothing is going to happen. And if we don't act, nothing will happen. So the first thing in life is that, yes, we have to think that what we have to do in life. And the second is that we have to see that what we are saying that we do. In environment, there should be no two languages. There's only one language. And that one language is that you respect nature and respect this universe, and you will get everything. If you don't do, then you are going to perish. We, in the race for development, what we have done? We have polluted our rivers so badly that even our Mother Ganga
the whole from Gangotri, from the origin to the end, has become so polluted, but it's a shame on us that we, on the one hand, we worship the river and we say that she's our mother, and on the other hand, we pollute it. We throw everything. So there is a difference in preaching and practice. We preach something else and we practice something else. So this in environment, there should be no gap. If we say that yes, we preach, then we should preach and we should respect and we should act accordingly. But it is not happening, at least in India and in the world also. My friends from all over the world, over here, I have visited many countries, and in US, when I went, there is a Willamette River in Oregon. So I spoke at many places in the conferences, and then I said, these conferences are not going to help us. Let us go out. And I took all those people to Willamette River, and I saw many bad things over there. And I said, no, let us go and clean. Let us act here. We should not talk only. So wherever I go, in Nepal also the same things happen. In every country, you know, I see. But I feel pain that where are we today? My friends, the things start from home. If our country is not safe, if our country, India, which is a great nation, if we can't respect, then how can protect the environment? How can we be the leader of the world when we talk about the environmental protection? We can't be. Whereas our Vedas, every script, every verse, when we read minutely, we come to know that it teaches nothing but nature and the love for living beings. As far as the role of environment and as a citizen, I do more deal with the action than talking over here. I have covered about 3,000 miles by walk for the protection of environment. Whenever I got time, I go and take people from green marches from one place to the other. I did the same thing in other countries also. And then there are two things. One is the courtroom battles, where we go and we practice law and we tell so many things. But the most important thing is that when we go to the courtroom, we have to know what we are talking in the courtroom. You can't make this speeches in the courtroom. You have to be precise. You have to talk, and then you have to bring out the new concepts and the new law, if can be made. And that is what Justice P.N. Bhagwati, he laid down new things. And one was that after the Bhopal gas tragedy, when I filed this case against the Shri Ram gas leak case, and that is where the Supreme Court of India said that strict and absolute liability principle was laid down. Later in the Supreme Court said that the government of India should set up environment courts in the country. So many things, so many directions, but unfortunately the court showed the road to the governments, to the parliament, to parliamentarians, and to all, but unfortunately those things could not be done, because there is what I feel, that there is a ignorance, or there is apathy on these issues. That was the thing. And if the environmental courts would have been set up way back in 1986, the things in India would have been totally different. In 86, the judgment came, and now you can imagine the 22 years. National Green Tribunal has been set up at last, and now even this National Green Tribunal has been made a puppet. It is not a functional place now, because there is no proper, the judges, those who are appointed, that is one aspect, but the two, that the experts, those who come there, so both the experts, environmental experts, as well as the judge. So if they are not appointed in India now, we have only 8-9 members, those who are working for 1.2 or 3 billion population. How can you do those things? So this is the apathy on the government of India, and that's why we are losing our precious gifts of nature given to all living beings. It is not the human being is the most at the top. No, I see that the living beings, we are dependent on them. They are not dependent on us. We are dependent. At every point, we are dependent on them. So the best thing is that here the international president is also here, and we should do some practical things that what we can do. And the national president and those who are working on these issues when we are talking about the Go Green. So for that, I think that we have to put pressures not here alone, but all over the world. In 70 countries, representatives, they should go meet the presidents. I was in Argentina recently, and I did a great march over there, and I was surprised that what is happening, they are the same. The rivers are in the same situation. Everything, every debris I could see. Then I asked that, please, the minister was there, so many other people, they came, and I said, why you can't touch? First, do that. You should make a principle that the same water will be used by you in your homes. Will you afford to do that? He said, no, we can't do. I said, why you are depending on the bottled water? So it is, please, you know, that do that. They said that, yes, we are going to do, and we are going to bring changes and this and that. I don't know what is going to happen. But the things are now over the Mother Earth, it is all like on fire. So if we wait too long, we will perish. She will still survive. So this important thing for us, the lesson is, that whether it is a Gangaji, which is now, it has become a garbage dump, place of garbage dump. It is a shameful act. Whether other rivers are here, or in other countries the rivers are there, we have to respect, and we have to see that the groundwater in India, sir, it has gone to 1,200 feet below, 1,300 feet below. If you go just here in Chennai and see the situation over there, you here, everywhere I have fought cases all over the country. I came over here also, and then I argued the cases in the High Court in Bangalore. In Chennai, everywhere, and when I saw things, it is intolerable. Because the people, they can't breathe. What are you going to do? You are a physician. What will you do to your patient if such situation is happening? It is really sad and shameful that we as human beings, we say that we have become intelligent. Our intelligent quotient has gone up. Where are we? We have gone down. It is not that the material happiness is not the material. Happiness is not the only solution. It is the happiness within. And the happiness within can come only if we love nature, if we respect nature, and if we live in nature. That is what our slogan should be. And that is what I think that this the organization is going to do. And you are doing this. and I really admire your actions, and hope that we should join our hands together. It is not that the Indian organizations and the other, we should all join together. It is not that I am working in isolation, you are working in isolation. I don't know what is happening there and what is happening here. So kindly let us know, have a joint programs where we can do three things important, that what the information on the technologies which are available all over the world. That is the first thing, because technology can help in reducing the pollution. What is air pollution? It is water pollution. It is the groundwater pollution or any other. And the two is that the law, information of law, dissemination of information, the like the judgments, like the court cases, like the legislations. We only confine ourselves within the country or within the state. We have to come out and see that if the fresh wind is coming from Netherlands or from US, we should take it, breathe it, and if from here goes there, they should be able to see the same thing and respect the same way. No nation can say that today that we are at the top. All we are at, swimming in the same boat, because we are going to perish, not soon, little later. It is just in the history, the times, history, the years does not matter. Even if it is after 50 years, what are we going to? 50 years is nothing in the life of the universe. So this is my humble submission, that we have to talk on the cultural heritage. We have to talk on the God, nature, and man. We talk to God. There is no need for sitting in the temples for hours together and then going out and throwing something back. That God is not going to come to us. God will say that this person has a double standards. He in the temple, he is reciting my name, and outside he's polluting. So that is what, if you take this water or here in India, or this milk in the morning, and the milk when you take it is mercury, and then the other harmful substances in it. So what are you going to do? Your child, you say you love most your child, and for the child, what you do? You give in the morning all the good fruits, the milk, and the water, and all that, and the boy or the girl that carries to the school also. But what is in that? Have you ever learned? Have you ever seen? There is a mercury. I am talking about India. A mercury in the glass of milk, and then all the infectious things or the metals, heavy metals, all those, and the child you are sending with wearing ties and all good clothes and all that, it goes to the school, and then ultimately what happens? That child, after a few years, he develops the breathing problems, he develops other things, and I have seen the children, they're losing their limbs. The children, they're going to school, but they don't know. So it is an emergency. There should be an environmental emergency in the world. It should be declared, and we should put pressure on all the nations, and even in the UN and all that, that you have to give. Don't think that UNEP is in action. No. When you go to Nairobi and other places, I tell them, what are you doing? Please, you are sitting in the cozy rooms and in the air-conditioned buildings and all that, and you are going to protect the environment? You can't do. And then they say, what to do? Your government does not understand what we tell them. We say that, okay, you enforce this thing, you enforce this. They say, no, you wait. India is a poor country. So, poverty, if this is the excuse for the poverty, this is not the excuse. We are under the carpet, we are putting something else. So we have to be honest. when we are talking about environment. So I wish that I don't want to take much time. My only submission to you and to prayer to all of you is that it's such a beautiful place. And Satya Sai Babaji, I wanted to come earlier. He has called me today. And so I'm grateful to him. And I, whatever you assign to me, I will be happy to do. And to do the things can be, it can be done collectively, not individually. If you say that, yes, alone, this organization will do, it is not possible. The I will do, it is impossible. The others, they do. So we have to connect over positive energy. And that positive energy, Babaji will give. And I pray that things should be right, not later, but soon, in during our lifetime. Thank you very much.
Dear sir, thank you for your inspiration today. We know that today is the first time you're here, but we would hope that in all your world travels, you would actually make Prashanthi Nilayam a regular stop in your itinerary from now on. Brothers and sisters, as we start to draw this morning's program to a conclusion, I want to remind all of the delegates to please, after Divya Darshan, assemble in Purnachandra Hall very soon. The program will start promptly at 10:25 a.m. Now, brothers and sisters, the sweetest moment in any event, in any conference, in any gathering, we pray to Bhagavan to bless us with his divine discourse. Before this, I would like to just draw attention that this discourse dates back to 1993 and goes to show how long our beloved Swami has been talking about this subject of nature and the environment. So, dears Bhagavan, please bless us with your golden voice. Jai Sai Ram.
Divyatma Swarupulara.
Embodiments of divine Atma.
Manamulaku, Samajamulaku, Prakurtiki, Uniyatunti, Sanni Samadha Bandhavyani, Manamulu Gurtinchadaniki Prayatninchatam Ledu.
Man is not making an effort to understand the relationship that exists between the man, society and nature.
Manamulu, Samajamu, Prakurti, Paramatma. Ee naligintu endukudanu anyonyamainatundi sambandhamu.
There is an intimate relationship between the four, namely, man, society, nature and God.
Nature.
It is a relationship of interdependence. They are not different. How? Just as the relationship between mother and child, so is the relationship between nature and God. Just as the relationship between honeybee and flower, so is the relationship between man and society. Just as the child is nourished by mother's milk, just as the honeybee experiences the nectar of the flower, man has to experience the potentialities inherent in nature. However, because man transgressed his limits in making use of nature, nature has been experiencing deviation from its natural course. As a result, nature has become hostile.
తాను కూర్చున్నటువంటి కొమ్మనే తాను నరుక్కునేటువంటి యొక్క అజ్ఞానుడు ఏ విధంగా తన యొక్క జీవితాన్ని కోల్పోతున్నాడు.
Just as an ignorant man who is trying to cut the branch on which he is sitting loses his life,
ఈనాడు వైజ్ఞానికుడు కూడాను ప్రకృతి అనేటువంటి ఒక పదార్థమును మానవులకు ఉపభోగ నిమిత్తమై ఏర్పడిందని భావించి దీన్ని మితిమీరి అనుభవించడానికి కృషి చేస్తున్నాడు.
Today, even scientists, considering nature as an object created merely for the consumption and pleasure of mankind, are making efforts to enjoy it beyond limits.
కాదు కాదు, మితిమీరి అనుభవించడం చేత ప్రకృతికి చాలా విరుద్ధమైనటువంటి ఫలితము చేకూరుతూ వస్తున్నాయి.
No, because of such unrestrained consumption, consequences that are calamitous to nature are being accrued.
అనుభవించేటువంటి యొక్క ఫలితములకు కూడాను కొంత మితిమీరి ఉండాలి.
Even whatever we experience and consume should be within the tolerable limits.
పరిమితము లేకుండా ఈ అనుభవానికి కూడాను మితిమీరి పోతున్నాడు మానవుడు.
Without moderation, man is transgressing all limits of consumption.
Science చెడ్డది కాదు.
Science is not bad.
ఈ విజ్ఞానం ఎంత ఉంటున్నదో దాన్ని వినియోగించుకోవడానికి వివేకము కూడాను అంత అవసరం.
As much as the scientific knowledge there is, so much is the need for wisdom for the utilization of it.
ఈనాడు వివేకమును కోల్పోయినటువంటి విజ్ఞానం అభివృద్ధి కావటం చేతనే దేశము అనేక రకములైనటువంటి బాధలకు గురి అవుతుంది.
Today, as a result of the proliferation of science that is bereft of wisdom, the nation is subject to various types of calamities.
మానవులకు సమాజమునకు ప్రకృతికి పరమాత్మకు ఉన్న సంబంధాన్ని చక్కగా మనము విచారించాలి.
We should inquire keenly into the relationship that exists between man, society, nature and God.
కాళ్ళు చేతులు కన్నులు చెవులు ముక్కు నోరు ఇవన్నీ కూడా దేహానికి అంగములు ఏ రీతిగా ఉన్నావు.
Legs, hands, eyes, ears, nose, mouth. Just as how all these are parts of the body,
ఈ అంగములే లేకపోతే మానవుడు ఏ విధంగా కూడాను మానవత్వాన్ని లేకుండా కోల్పోతాడు.
Just as how in the absence of all these parts, man suffers the loss of human identity itself,
అదే విధంగా అంగములు మానవులకు కొంత ఆధారమైనట్టుగా మానవుడు సమాజములకు అంగములుగా ఉంటున్నాడు.
In the same way as the organs are the basic constituents of the body, man is a limb of the society.
ఈ యొక్క సమాజము ప్రకృతికి అంగంగా ఉంటుందా?
Society is a limb of nature.
ప్రకృతి పరమాత్మకు అంగంగా ఉంటుందా?
Nature is a limb of divinity.
ప్రపంచంలో ఎటు చూసినప్పటికీ అంగ అంగీభావ సంబంధం అనేటువంటిది సాక్షాత్కరిస్తూ ఉంటుంది.
Wherever we look in creation, it is this relationship between the limb and the body that is manifest.
కనుక ఈనాడు వైజ్ఞానిక శాస్త్రం అభివృద్ధి అయిపోయిందని, సైన్స్ అండ్ టెక్నాలజీ చాలా అభివృద్ధి కాంచినదని మనం ఆనందిస్తున్నాం.
Today, we are delighted that science and technology has made immense progress.
ఇది ఆనందించవలసినటువంటి విషయమే.
It is indeed a matter to be happy about.
మానవుడు సైన్స్ అండ్ టెక్నాలజీలో కూడా చాలా అభివృద్ధి కాంచినది నిజమే.
It is indeed true that mankind has made immense progress in the field of science and technology.
కానీ ఈ సైన్స్ అండ్ టెక్నాలజీ ఎంత మనసుకు మనిషికి అనుకూలం చేయుచున్నదో అంత అనానుకూలము కూడా సృష్టి గావించుతుంది.
However, as much convenience science and technology has brought to man, it has resulted in as much inconvenience as well.
కారణం ఏమిటి?
What is the reason?
మితిమీరినటువంటి యొక్క సుఖములు కోరుతున్నాడు మానవుడు.
Man is aspiring for comforts beyond limits.
ఈ మితిమీరినటువంటి సుఖం కూడా మానవులకు మతిహాని.
These comforts that cross limits result in harm to man's mind.
నత్రేయో నియమం వినా ప్రతిదానికి ఒక నియమం ఉంటుండాలి.
There can be no welfare without discipline. For everything, there is a discipline, a limit.
ఈనాడు అనేక విధముల యొక్క అభివృద్ధులు గావించటం చేత యాంత్రిక జీవితంగా లోకము జరుగుతూ వస్తుండాలి.
Today, because of the various types of advances made, world is progressing in a mechanical manner. As a result, the spiritual power is on the decline. Today, in science or in scientific tradition, the individual is not making an effort to inquire into the unity inherent in diversity. They are visualizing the one as being many. As a result, we are unable to comprehend the unity as well as the divinity in humanity. We must make efforts to recognize the divinity latent in humanity. A small example. There is this thing called ozone, which protects the earth. Because of certain changes in nature that have occurred, and due to the advances in science and technology, this protective layer of ozone is dissipating. In order to remedy this, scientists are undertaking various efforts. What is the main reason? The main cause for the depletion of the ozone layer is the annihilation of animals and trees. As a result, carbon dioxide gas has become excessive. The increase in carbon dioxide has resulted in reduction of availability of life-giving oxygen to man. Carbon dioxide released through the respiration by man is to be taken in by the trees, and the oxygen released by the trees are to be breathed in by man. This is the relationship between nature and man. Due to paucity of trees, carbon dioxide is not consumed by them in sufficient measure. The paucity of trees has resulted in insufficient supply of oxygen. There is intimate relationship between humanity and divinity. The temperature of the human body must be maintained under a certain limit. 98.4 degree Fahrenheit. The moment it becomes 99, fever begins. The human body functions within precise limits. Just as the health is essential for the body, a balance in the five elements is needed for the country. Be it the fact that man is vulnerable to different kinds of diseases today, be it the unrest he suffers, desires that have crossed all limits is the cause.
Less luggage, more comfort.
That is why man should have less luggage, more comfort. To an extent, we must limit some of our desires. To have ceiling on desires, it must be brought about by one's own effort.
Ceiling on desires,
Sealing on desires is more to do with an individual and has nothing to do with the government or an external agency. One must impose limits on one's own self.
हमारा Hare Krishna, Hare Ram, Madhura Naam Sai Ram. Punya Naam, Pavitra Naam, Ram Naam Sai
Ram.
Karuna Sindhu Sita Ram, Dina Bandhu Radhesha. करुण सिंधु सीताराम दीन बंधु राधेश हरे कृष्ण हरे राम मधुर नाम साई
राम
हरे कृष्ण हरे राम मधुर नाम साई राम Punya Naam Pavitra Naam Ram Naam Sai
Ram
Hare Krishna Hare Ram Madhura Naam Sai
Ram
Punya Naam Pavitra Naam Ram Naam Sai
Ram
Karuna Sindhu Sita Ram Deena Bandhu Radhesha Hare Krishna Hare Ram Madhura Naam Sai
Ram
Hare Krishna Hare Ram Madhura Naam Sai
Ram
Punya Naam Pavitra Naam Ram Naam Sai Ram
Jai Jagadish Hare Swami Satya Sai Hare Bhakta Janasam Rakshaka Bhakta Janasam Rakshaka Pate Maheshwara Om Jai Jagadish Hare Shashi Madana Srikara Sarva Prana Pate Swami Sarva Prana Pate Ashrita Kalpalateka Apatadava Om Jai Jagadish Hare Mata Pita Guru Daivamu Mariyantayunive Swami Mariyantayunive Nada Brahma Jagannatha Nada Brahma Jagannatha Nagendra Shayana Om Jai Jagadish Hare Omkar Rupa Ojasvi Gosai Mahadeva Satya Sai Mahadeva Mangala Arati Antuku Mangala Arati Antuku Mandara Giridhari Om Jai Jagadish Hare Narayana Narayana Om Satya Narayana 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 Satyanarayana Narayana Satyanarayana Narayana Om Jai Sadgurudeva Narayana Narayana Satyanarayana Narayana 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 Satyanarayana Narayana Satyanarayana Narayana Om Jai Sadgurudeva Narayana Narayana Satyanarayana Narayana 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 Satyanarayana Narayana Satyanarayana Narayana
Jai